And the question that comes in, do you treat or do you not treat them when they have the active inflammation? It certainly seems sensible to intervene to reduce the inflammation when they're in that upward phase. Probably not so valuable after they're already getting better. And in fact, that's one of the big problems with randomized studies, is are the people already getting better anyway, and so you can't tell whether the intervention you propose has really made a difference. And if you look at those two curves, you can see we got a problem here because they don't really match up. What we'd like is to be able to intervene at a period where they're on the upward slope and make it so that their overall curve is less severe than it would have been if we hadn't intervened. So there's two big groups that are studying this, one called UGOGO in Europe and one called ITEDS in America. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the big things that's been proposed is the idea of a clinical activity score. So there's a bunch of things you can look at: spontaneous retrobulbar pain, pan extraocular movement, eyelid erythema, conjunctival injection, chemosis, curricular edema, and eyelid edema. And you can try to give each of these a point and say, okay, at what point is it really active? And the idea is that numerous studies and ad hoc committees and validation has been done that shows that it's probably active if you've got at least 3 points on that scale. Another classification has been proposed out of Vancouver, looking at, they call it the VISA classification. This is a little closer to the no specs in some ways, but trying to summarize more than just the inflammation. You got vision, inflammation, strabismus, and then appearance as VISA, where inflammation is kind of that central part. And they have a little point system that goes with this. They're trying to include strabismus, which, as you notice, isn't really included in that clinical activity score, because this tends to be more of a stable situation, and some way to kind of decide if somebody's got really bad Graves' disease or if they don't. There is an international study group that's come out that's primarily based here in North America that's called ITEDS. You can go at iteds.org if you want to hook up with this, trying to put together multi-center randomized clinical studies, one of the things that's never really been done with this disease. So in terms of what do you do if you see somebody, most of the time we'll follow them during their active phase. I tell them that they should have a low threshold for coming back if they develop new double vision that they didn't have anymore. And we kind of follow all those things with their clinical activity score and their VISA score, do some automated perimetry, take photographs, and kind of follow them. Question is, at what point do you stop holding their hand and give them something to do? At what point do you decide you don't really need to worry about it? And then the question is, well, what do we have in our gun cabinet in terms of what can we do about this? Well, we have a variety of options. You know, certainly we've got observation, got non-pharmaceutical things like artificial tears, ointments, cool compresses, got pharmaceutical things that I'll talk quite a bit about, some new immunological treatments that I'll mention. And then, of course, for the stable patients, you've got optical things that we can do like prisms, and, of course, surgery. Smoking, there's quite a few studies that have shown that it unquestionably worsens their disease. I tell everybody that you're an idiot if you keep smoking once you've been diagnosed with this, which doesn't change a lot of people, but what are you going to do? In terms of topical therapy, of course, you've got things like the eye bubble, ointments, Restasis, punctal plugs, all the stuff you all know a lot better than me. In terms of medical treatment, we have quite a few options. There's been a lot of studies done, a lot of randomized or semi-randomized, but not really good double-blind studies done. And we have kind of this range of success rates. And IV steroids and oral steroids, Mutane, are still the mainstay of our treatment for people who have active inflammation. Radiation, there's a lot of controversy about, which I'll get to. Somatostatin is growth hormone. It may be helpful. It's ridiculously expensive. Cyclosporin, maybe. And then our new kid on the block is Rituxan, a monoclonal antibody that I'll mention, that it's still early in terms of studies, but it seems quite promising, so we'll see.